This is Radioactive Magazine, a KKFI public affairs program of progressive activism, opinion, and commentary. Opinions expressed on this program are those of the speakers alone and are not necessarily the views of KKFI, its staff, volunteers, board of directors, show hosts, or other guests on the program.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman. You're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
This week on The Pioneers, Revolution from the Heart of Nature.
My mother always said, if we have a pot of beans and there's nine of us sitting here at the table, there's room for one more. You don't let somebody else go hungry. That's community.
Hello, and welcome to Radioactive Magazine. I'm not hearing anything. This is Radioactive Magazine.
Hello?
Oh, you're there, Aaron?
Okay. I am.
Okay, and can you hear me?
I got it. Yep.
Okay, we're all good. The only person I couldn't hear is myself, but I guess we're doing just fine.
Oh.
Yeah, this is Bill Claus. Welcome to Radioactive Magazine. I'm here, and my co-host tonight is Spencer Graves. Hi, Spencer.
Hello.
Yeah, and on the phone line, we have Aaron Ritchie, investigative journalist from St. Louis and project leader on the Missouri Integrity Investigative Team. Welcome to the show, Aaron.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I'm going to give Aaron a chance to properly introduce herself after the following introduction to tonight's program. Tonight's show is about integrity. Specifically, we will report the findings of the Center for Public Integrity as it relates to our two area state governments, the states of Missouri and Kansas. The Center for Public Integrity is a nonpartisan, non-commercial investigative journalism project founded in 1989 by Charles Lewis, an investigative reporter formerly with 60 Minutes. The Center for Public Integrity contacted some 100 organizations working in the area of governmental reform and asked them what their concerns were and what they should study vis-a-vis the issue of governmental integrity. And as a result of this effort, they came up with 245 questions in 13 different categories that they used to give annual reports about governmental integrity for each of the state governments. My co-host, Spencer Graves. Hi again, Spencer.
Hi there.
Is doing triple duty as co-host, show producer, and as a guest. We were unable to get an integrity investigator that worked on the report for the state of Kansas, but since the Center for Public Integrity had the good sense to put the integrity reports on the web, we will have Spencer give us some highlights or maybe lowlights about the integrity reports for the state of Kansas. So Aaron Ritchie, as I said, worked as a project leader for the integrity investigation for the state of Missouri. So Aaron, I'm real new to the Center for Public Integrity. So anything I said that was misleading or wrong, fill me in on that. But tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved with the project, and maybe a little bit more about what it's all about.
Absolutely. So I think you got everything pretty much spot on for the Center for Public Integrity. I'm actually a reporter in the St. Louis area, and I specialize in construction, mostly construction reporting, but also public data research, and I usually work in collaboration with the Open Data STL organization. So I got the opportunity to be the State Integrity Investigator for the Center for Public Integrity's update to the State Integrity Investigation, which was originally published in 2012. The 2015 edition is an update to several of the questions of the areas of on which the state was graded, but also an update to some of the methodology to incorporate some additional fact-checking measures, to incorporate some a better definition for when things are either working in practice or are at least supposed to be working in theory. So it was a real pleasure to work on this project and sort of take a deep dive into what the different, what the landscape is for the Missouri citizens' ability to take a look into what's happening in state government.
I'm gonna let Spencer take.
Okay, fine. So tell us a bit more about the state integrity investigations. There's what, a separate web page for each state. And an over with an overall score and the score for each category. Tell us a bit more about that, Erin.
Sure. So the Center of Public Integrity hired a reporter in each of the 50 states, and each reporter had to go out and find a set number of sources to consult for each and every question on that survey of different topics in the categories of transparency. So in reality, for each report that you see there, somewhere between 50 and 100 different people contributed, and there were many documents cited in order to support some of the findings that are in the report cards. Each report card incorporates about 250 questions divided into different categories on things like the ability to access public information, the ability to access information on the budget process or public employee retirement systems, and other topics which are a little more public interest related, so things like whether lobbyists can receive funds and whether lobbyists can give gifts to politicians and the kinds of relationships that lobbyists and politicians have. In addition, the relationships between politicians and their donors and the amount of transparency in that relationship. So each report card also begins with an introductory article that provides a little context about how things have changed over the past 3 years from the initial report in 2012 to today, and also some of the context about the major political scandals or advances in transparency that have taken place, and also just interesting things about the histories of different states that really enable someone to understand the full situation involved in the transparency in state politics, whether that's a massive scandal in the past or a sort of a state approach to transparency that is different from other states.
Very interesting. So, for our listeners, how can somebody find this on the web?
Okay, the URL, it will redirect you to the appropriate page, but the URL to find this page is stateintegrity.org, no hyphens or punctuation in between it, just stateintegrity.org. It'll take you to the Center for Public Integrity site, and it'll show you the major articles that will direct people to the report cards for their own states. So there are pages that will allow you to compare the report cards and the areas in which states did particularly strongly or poorly. On several pages, you can compare all states, but there will also be pages for you to explore the report card and to read the context article.
I wanted to get a little bit into the report card from Missouri, since that's the one you're the most familiar with.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the overall grade we got was D-, we mm-hmm. being because I am from Missouri. there's 13 categories. There were 6 Fs, 3 Ds, 1 D+, 2 C's and 1 B minus, and as bad as that report card is, it's better than Kansas. We'll get to that in a little bit, though. But and I noticed the ranking there, and I don't know if you're conversing with all of these different ones or not, but I guess the one that looks like it's the lowest ranked, which by that I think it's the ranking out of the 50 states, is political financing in Missouri. I mean, is there something particularly well, I know there's something particularly egregious about it, but why such a low ranking for Missouri on political financing?
Yeah, well, Missouri is one of the few states that has this certain characteristics of its political financing structure that are particularly large obstacles to transparency. For instance, there are no limits to individual donations to candidates or political parties. And that's the same goes for corporate donations or the amount that political action committees can give to candidates or other parties. There are also no limits to how much lobbyists can give to any political party or candidate. And while there is quite a bit of transparency involved in how much the general public can see of the political financing system, you know, if you go to the Missouri Ethics Commission website, a lot of these reports are published very prominently and easy to search. But there are other issues in political financing in that the enforcement agencies like the Missouri Ethics Commission are not as powerful as maybe an A grade would have required, what it would have required to get an A grade. And also the ability to, for instance, see these reports about political financing in a format that allows you to gather them and do analysis on them in what we call a machine-readable format. And also whether or not these reports are fully audited every year or whether they're audited randomly. A lot of factors are involved in deciding what an A grade or a B grade or, in this case, an F grade really means. But it's a collection of characteristics that are, according to the methodology, comparable across states. So unfortunately, in that case, Missouri ranked 44th out of the 50 states that were graded this in 2015.
Sure. So I just went on the web and I did a search for Missouri Integrity Investigation, and the first entry was the thing you just described, and there was a table with these 13 categories, and so I clicked on the political finance, and it drills gives me opportunity to review all 20 or 30 or however many questions there were under the category of political finance. It gives, in law, for example, there are limits on individual donations to candidates and to political parties, and the answer you gave was no. If I click on that, it tells the explanation and the criteria and the sources that you cited, I guess, and you wrote all this, right? I mean, the criteria were given by the center, right? But the explanation and the sources was your work.
Yes. Yeah.
Great. Great. So, what else? What other major category? What else about this do you think do you think would most interest Missouri voters?
Sure. The political financing portion of the report is particularly amazing, at least to me. But among the other categories that are also similarly very interesting are things like the access to information. Missouri scored an F on that as well. And although it did rank 18th in the country, which sort of is a remark on the state of public access to information in the U.S. today, there are a lot of states that are similarly having trouble enforcing laws about the public access to information, about open meeting laws, and about the ability to get documents that are of interest to the general public online and accessible. There are a lot of documents in Missouri that you have to go request in person, including the personal finance disclosures, the personal interest disclosures of any judge, any state judge in Missouri. You can request any politician, as in any state level, elected a politician or some appointed politicians from the Missouri Ethics Commission, and they'll generally email it to you with no problem. But the stewards of the judicial personal finance reports will not email them to you. You have to go to Jefferson City. The other interesting things are, for instance, the category in which Missouri got a B-minus, internal auditing, was related to the auditor at the time, who was particularly well-known and well-respected. And I'm blanking on his name. Tom, can you help me?
No.
Was that Claire McCaskill's old job back in the day?
It was back in the day.
Yeah,
and it was.
She seemed to have been pretty good at it, if I remember right, as well. I don't know if that's a history of Missouri or not, but I guess that's going to depend a lot on who's ever in that position then, right? Is that your feel for it?
In fact, the report card grade that you see on that report is most related to the administration of Tom Schweich. That was the name I was blanking on. Who was particularly well known for, being a contentious opponent to people he thought were abusing their powers or wasting taxpayers' money. So now that there's a new auditor, we have yet to see whether or not she'll have the same reputation for being sort of a bulldog in that office. but that'll be a question for the 2018 state integrity investigation.
Yep. Your comments about public access to information and this whole issue reminds me of the famous quote from Justice Louis Brandeis, who said that sunshine is the best disinfectant.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's why we're talking about this. In contrast to Missouri, Kansas scored 50th out of 50 states and got a solid F in internal auditing, and I've got some comments about that a little bit later.
Why don't you go ahead and make those comments, as long as we're, it's okay to talk a little bit about Kansas out of order here.
Yeah. Well, my comments are,
well,
I've got some notes that I need to consult.
Then as a public employee, retiree myself, comment a little bit on the state pension fund management. I noticed that got an F, and it's ranked 38th. Is that pension fund in fiscal danger, you think?
Well, the report doesn't say anything about the actual fiscal status of the pension funds. They could be very well managed and very fiscally sound. The problem is that it's hard to tell if you're an average citizen or a retiree looking to find out how good the hands are that your money is in. For instance, Missouri doesn't have regulations on whether or not placement agents have to disclose information to the office, like Moser's, before they place business with the pension. So a placement agent is anyone who works for a fund who is attempting to get business with the pension. So it's essentially a lobbyist for a particular company trying to get business with the pension, and sometimes these people are they receive money in order to sell their business to pensions. Pension fund managers. So it is a concern to some people.
I didn't mean to interrupt. But do you have a feel that's an area that could be both an area for corruption and obviously rewarding your friends kind of things? Is that the danger if it's poorly managed, do you think, or other downsides as well?
Yeah, well, the principal reason so many states do have laws related to placement agents and whether or not those people have to disclose their activities to any management authority for state pensions is the fact that they receive compensation for lobbying their firms to the pension funds, and also the fact that they may attempt to strike personal bargains with pension fund managers to say that they'll receive a kickback or that there will be some kind of pay-to-play operation there. Of course, the fact that placement agents don't have to register in Missouri doesn't necessarily mean that they're engaging in pay-to-play operations, and I'm sure the pension funds would say very adamantly that they do not engage in that kind of activity. But without public insight into who is registering as a placement agent, we just don't have the ability to, shine any light on that and shine any sunshine on that right. relationship.
So in any case, as we mentioned, I was unable to get anybody involved with the Kansas Integrity Investigation to talk with us on this show, but I did... I sent out invitations to representatives of both Republican and Democratic parties for comments on it, and including a few candidates for a couple of districts in the Kansas State Senate and House of Representatives. And I received a reply from one candidate, Megan England, who was the Democratic candidate running for Kansas State Senate District Number 7. She said, quote, "The results from the Center for Public Integrity show that the state of Kansas has real problems that extend beyond the Brownback agenda. Too many of our politicians," she said, "are tied to the will of funding sources that are not in line with the values of their district. Transparency in our financing system is a problem. The state, in particular, ranks dead last in internal audits, second to last in procurement, and in the bottom five for budgets. This means that deals are cut in the state house, she says, to reward friends of the elected, not to protect the people of the state. We need a far more transparent, ethical system. She said that her experience working in local government has shown her that the more transparent the problem is to citizens, the more ethically elected officials operate. It is time, she says, for the Kansas legislature to come out of the dark and let the public in on the process. My thought about the internal auditing thing and Kansas getting an F is, it reminds me of the old joke about trying to eliminate embezzlement by closing the accounting department.
I'm going to help set up the comparison between Missouri and Kansas a little bit. As bad as the Missouri report was, it's a D minus. Missouri was ranked as 26th, but Kansas got an F, ranked as 43rd of the 50 states, and of those 13 categories, got 9 Fs, 2 Ds, and 2 Cs. You've already mentioned a couple of them there, Spencer, were particularly egregious. Is there another category there you want to make a couple of comments on?
Procurement, that's sort of vaguely similar to internal auditing, and it's Kansas law in particular does not require competitive bidding for major procurements and does not limit sole sourcing. Companies found guilty of major procurement violations like bribery are not prohibited from bidding on future contracts, and it's difficult for citizens to obtain information on actual procurement practices. Several of Brownback's political allies have landed state jobs or contracts, according to this report.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that struck me the most in reading through the kind of the narrative on that, or the many things where it looks like there really is a lot of cronyism going on with who gets. I mean, I suppose that happens at all.
One of the issues that caught my eye was electoral oversight, and that's been a big issue in the news this past year. Actually, I think a much bigger issue at least in Kansas news since the report was published last November, and in fact, tomorrow evening, in between 6 and 8 p.m., there will be discussion of voter suppression in Kansas and Missouri. Kansas and Missouri at the Epicenter is the title at the Asbury United Methodist Church on the northeast corner of the intersection of 75th and Knoll in Prairie Village. The event is being organized by the Mainstream Coalition and co-sponsored by several of the local chapters of the League of Women Voters. Featured speakers will be Micah Kubik, who is local director of the ACLU of Kansas, and Judy Morgan, who is a Democrat in the Missouri House of Representatives. Again, that's an event, a discussion on voter suppression tomorrow evening, and you can get more information about that on the web.
Aaron, since Paul, we got you on the line, we covered several of the categories. Is there any of them that kind of jumps out that maybe we should comment since we're getting close to the end?
Sure. Well, in fact, since you're mentioning voter suppression, I would direct your listeners to the electoral oversight category on both the Missouri and the Kansas report cards. I was really surprised to learn in Missouri through my research that there isn't really a specifically designated oversight entity for elections that has the ability to sort of enact punishments on people who violate voting laws. We have some oversight through the Secretary of State's office and through the Attorney General's office a little bit, and from the Lieutenant Governor. But unfortunately, it's just not enough to get above an F grade. And in fact, Missouri ranks lower on that specific category than Kansas does. But Kansas also has an F grade for a variety of reasons. Looking at the report card, it says that the leadership of the oversight entity is not mandated to monitor state elections while protected from political interference. And has some issues with things like access to oversight records and the effectiveness of the entity itself.
Just as a quick kind of editorial thing, you know, it seems that while there seems to be this misplaced focus on suppression of the vote from one side of the spectrum perspective anyway, that they get an F on electoral oversight. You know, it seems like kind of concentrating on the wrong thing there as far as...
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's been a major... the conservatives insist that there's a major problem with people who are non-citizens voting in the U.S. elections, and there have been, and if you go on the web, you can find stories claiming, blogs that claim that Hillary and Barack Obama are threatening people who are here illegally with expulsion if they don't register and vote somehow. I can't imagine. I've read other people say that's really bizarre to expect that large numbers of people who are here illegally, you know, they don't want to stick out. they want to hide, basically. They don't want to be give the authorities reason to go after them.
Here's something that I think is worth noting that I've noticed on both reports. Back in 2012, Kansas had an overall grade of C, and now in 2015 it's an F. Missouri back in 2012 had an overall grade of C-, and now it's a D-. So things have not been have not been improving lately.
Some of that shift, I don't know how much. Perhaps Aaron can tell us how much of that shift is due to change in the evaluation criteria.
Well, that's correct. The methodology has changed pretty substantially over the past 3 years. In fact, there were two categories on the 2012 report that were completely taken off for the 2015 report because they don't change more often than every 3 years, or because they weren't very good indicators of the general ability to prevent corruption or the ability to improve transparency within those governments. So, in addition, there have been more fact-checking and review stages added into the report. So you can compare each state individually between within that year's report, but you won't really be able to be certain that there's been a substantial improvement based on comparing the 2012 report to the 2015 report.
Well, we have about come to the end of our time, and I want to I want to thank my co-host Spencer Graves, who is actually the producer of this show and did a lot of the research and tracked down our very special telephone guest Aaron Ritchie, and thank you, Aaron, as well for your time and for your hard work in a very noble and worthwhile cause, and thanks for being on the Heartland Labor Forum. I'm showing my age here. I'm on Radioactive Magazine, and thanks for being on KKFI. And is this a project that you will you be doing this again next year? I guess
It won't be next year. There may be another one happening in 2018. I don't know if I would be the investigator for it,
okay.
But we are working on constant updates to make sure that people are informed of changes to laws or changes to enforcement that will be of interest to anyone who's curious about transparency and prevention of corruption. So it's worth checking up on the report cards in the Center for Public Integrity.
Yes, and you can also forward them. The Center for Public Integrity invites you to forward the find out about them and to contact your elected representatives, especially in the State Assembly and Senate.
Well, again, Aaron, thank you so much. We are out of time, and you've been listening to Radioactive Magazine. Tune in next week to as David Mitchell has another round with author Pythia Payee, whose book America on the Couch, and we'll talk about we'll do a little psychoanalyzing of the madness going on in the presidential election. So thanks for tuning in, and thanks again, Aaron, for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.